for kind of joining us on the Marketing Rules podcast. As we mentioned before, this is for people, you know, to understand different ways of marketing, to understand how they brand their business. And we try and talk to as many interesting people as possible. Not necessarily marketing professionals, because they're usually the dullest people to speak to about marketing and about branding. But people who kind of do it almost unconsciously and do it because there's just a general need in their business or what they do to do it. Now, you know, I think maybe it's a good place to start is just to kind of give people a little bit, you know, a quick kind of summary about your kind of background, because there'll be people who will be listening to this, you know, who may not, I mean, they're idiots if they don't, who don't know who Billy Schwer is, you know. Yeah. So just kind of give us a kind of a potted history of your background.
So really, really briefly. So I'm a former British, Commonwealth, European and world boxing champion. So my journey started, I started boxing when I was 8 years of age. I had my first contest when I was 11. I became a national champion at 13. I represented my country, traveled around the world as a kid. And then I decided to turn professional at 21. I won the British and Commonwealth Championships 2 years into my pro career. Then I lost it, then I regained it, and then it was like a roller coaster ride. And then I challenged for the world title over in Las Vegas, top of the bill in Las Vegas. So prior to that, I was top of the bill at the Royal Albert Hall, Wembley. I had an amazing career. I went over to Vegas. I challenged for the title and lost. I didn't win. So I came back and then challenged for the European title. I won that one over in. I went over to Spain and fought in a big Olympic stadium in an epic contest. It voted Contest of the Year by the European Boxing Union. It was an absolute war. It was brilliant. So I won that. Then I came back to the UK, defended that three times, which moved me up the world rankings. I've got another shot at the world title, Wembley Arena. I got beat in that one as well. So my second failed attempt, but there's a lot of controversy after that one because my opponent failed the drug test. Mm-hmm. He got off on a technicality, so I was so disappointed. So that was world title challenge number two. Go back to the drawing board, sit down with my team, and I talk about, yeah, without teamwork, the dream don't work. And we talk about marketing. Marketing as a fighter, as an athlete, is a big part of it. So you've got your promoters who are marketing to you, to the TV stations, and they've got to sell you into the TV station. So it's all part of it. So I got another shot at the world title. I lose that one. So back to the draw board again. And eventually I get another shot, my fourth attempt at the world title, which I eventually win. And I was crowned the world champion. So that was my journey from, in a nutshell, from when I started to winning the world title. But then I lost it in my first defense. So when I won the title, I ended up in hospital. I had concussion. So I had my first defense of the title very, very soon, too soon. Like, hindsight is a wonderful thing, right? And I had my first defense too soon, got beat, got knocked out, ended up back in hospital. But this time I traveled in style. I went to the hospital in the back of an ambulance. And it was in that moment, in the back of the ambulance, as I was driving through central London, sirens are blaring, we're dodging through the traffic, and it's in that moment I realised that my life as I know it was over. And that was when I made the toughest decision I've ever made, to retire from boxing. And then the real battle, the real challenge started, because I made an unconscious decision that my life is over. What's the point? I no longer had any meaning. I had no purpose. I had no focus. I had no vision. And I really struggled. So I went through a period of depression. I wrecked my marriage, which ended up in divorce. I made some bad decisions. I ended up going bankrupt, got caught out in the property back in 2007, 2008, went bankrupt, lost everything. So I had to really restart and regain everything and rebuild myself and reinvent myself from those times. And that's been the biggest challenge that I've had. That's the biggest battle that I've had is that one.
Well,
and here I am today, though. We're speaking. And we've had some great conversations. And I sit here today. I'm happier, more fulfilled and satisfied than I've ever been before, ever.
Well so it's true to say, Billy, that you're one of the most upbeat people that I think I know. And that's probably come from the background, your background, right?
And that's it. So then I've been through, I've been in the depths of despair. I've been suicidal. I've been that low. I've been through some tough times. So then it's about, my thing is about now. So now I'm a professional speaker,
yeah,
and I'm a personal performance coach. And I've recently written a book called Man Up, The World Champion Way, which is all about how I've got to where I am, to be happy, to be fulfilled and satisfied. And so I coach people on that, really, because if you, as a fundamental basis of anything, if I could ask, all the guys that I ask, if you could have happiness, fulfillment and satisfaction, is there anything else that you'd want? Because and that's the ultimate thing, and I have it.
Yeah.
And I've discovered it, and it's about discovering happiness.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, yeah, what is it and what is it not, to then discover what it is really. And then, I have to pinch myself to kind of to be where I'm at.
Well, we'll come on to talk about the book a little bit kind of towards the end, because, you know, I've got a copy. I'm working my way through it. I've got a holiday coming up, so it's going to be my holiday reading.
I hope it's sunny where you're going.
Me too. but let's kind of take a step back. So you mentioned something really interesting about when you were a kind of pro boxer, and how the marketing and how that was kind of starting to work around that. And what would be interesting to know is, how aware are you at that point of you as Billy Schwer as the brand?
Yeah.
Were you kind of aware of what you should and shouldn't be doing, of the effects of that, you know?
Because, I mean, when I turned pro, I was 21. So you're just a kid. You don't really know too much about anything. You just have a dream, a vision to be a champion.
Yeah.
And you would go into the ring and you would do it for free because it's just what you love doing. And as it progresses and the years go by, and you kind of realize that you are in a business.
Yeah.
And it is a business, and you are a commodity, because boxers, we come and go. The promoters, the managers, they stay around for a lot longer than we do. Mm. And we're on a conveyor belt. We're in, then we're out. So their job is then obviously to look after you as best they can. But there is a shelf life. You can't fight forever. So
yeah.
I was aware that I am it. I am the business. So, and sales more than probably, I was aware of, I'm a salesperson. I'm selling myself.
Yeah.
So I was very aware of that. And I am the business, and I'm the commodity. And marketing, sales, marketing, they kind of went hand in hand.
Yeah, of course.
And I was consciously aware of, I would be doing lots and lots of things for my marketing for the fight. So yeah, that we'd be doing lots of local stuff, getting in the local papers.
Because
we go out to all the local pubs.
Because not wanting to give away your age too much, Billy, but this is pre kind of social media kind of.
Yeah, I'm 50, so this is many, many, many moons ago.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was a different landscape then. There wasn't, you didn't have Facebook, you didn't have Instagram,
none of that.
Yeah,
it was old school, so we would be doing it physically. Paper would be going, getting editorial pieces in the local paper.
Yeah,
having adverts in the papers. And what I used to do, I'd buy a couple of pages of the local paper. I would then go out physically myself and sell an advert in the paper. I would create pages. My dad would go around all the pubs. We'd put posters up. My dad would then sell the tickets from the kitchen table. So we sold out Wembley Arena from my dad's kitchen table. And we would have half a Luton there. So everyone would be coming into the house to buy their tickets for the fight.
Yeah.
It was kind of old school. So that's the way that it was back in those days.
And kind of, what's your kind of thoughts about kind of boxing and marketing of boxing and how boxers kind of have to do it nowadays? Because you you obviously still follow the sport, you know, you're still kind of ingrained in it. So, what do you think has changed? And is it better? Is it worse? If you were starting now, how would you go about it?
I think, you said it earlier on about the social media. It's very, very social media driven, and fighters nowadays, they can build a big following just through social media.
Yeah.
So I think there's more opportunities now, but the trouble is not all fighters have got that ability. Some people don't really, they just haven't got that about and they find it very difficult to promote themselves, talk about themselves, film themselves.
Yeah.
And it's not easy, because that's like a job in itself.
And do you think there's... It exposes you. So you said you kind of you had some issues. You had issues once you'd kind of given up over, you know, that you lost your purpose, basically. You lost the drive, you know. And think something like social media can be very exposing of those kinds of personal cracks. You know,
can be brutal.
Yeah. And so I guess that's maybe something that I mean. It's not, I suppose, personalities in general these days. Confined with something like social media. So, I mean, it would have been, you know, that is all kind of like laid out to play in front of a live audience, basically, you know. And I'm sure...
I think it's harder because you're putting yourself out there as an athlete, anyone using social media, and you're just up for being criticised, you're up for being... There's all that stuff to consider, and it's a tough world if you get too attached to it, if you make it mean anything, because it's all passing, it can be brutal when you see some of the stuff flying around.
Yeah,
and it's you've got to be a bit thick-skinned.
But it's kind of a necessary evil, though, right? Isn't it?
You know? Kind of is, yeah. And if you want to be, I mean, if you look at Instagram, the followers they get on there. If you want to be, if you are anybody, you've probably got a big following. And if you've got a big following, you're going to get criticised, you're going to get shot down, you're going to be ridiculed, you're going to be made wrong, there's going to be controversy. And you're going to do the best you can. And if you're an athlete, that's what you do. I mean, I used to box, I used to fight for a living, that's what I used to do.
Mm.
And I wasn't, but now a lot of these guys, they're media, they've got media companies, they are a media company themselves.
Yeah.
And they're putting so much stuff out there, which does... It generates bums on seats.
Yeah.
It generates revenue. It generates sponsorship deals. It generates ticket sales. It generates a career after that career finishes.
Well, I suppose I'm thinking about someone like Tyson Fury, who kind of courts kind of controversy and has really laid his kind of his problems out that's all played out in the public eye, basically. You know, you know, but there's kind of, so you kind of have this narrative and story that has been laid out for that probably because of something like social media, because of how the media now works, probably wasn't there at that point when you were boxing, but now it's literally, you know, your life plays out in the entire world. So with his breakdown, that kind of gets played out in across every single media, basically.
Absolutely, yeah. So back in my day, when I had my breakdown, so I went through exactly the same kind of thing as him.
Yeah.
That it wasn't really discussed or talked about. Mm. I mean, but now mental health is a big subject and it's a very open subject. I mean, even the royals are talking about it. So it's a very open subject. But back in my day, when I was going through my tough times, I was trying to figure it out for myself. I didn't know how to ask for help, or I felt embarrassed, I felt ashamed. I should be able to figure it out myself. I'm a fighter, I'm a man.
Yeah.
I should be able to work it all out. But I couldn't, and I made a mess of it. But nowadays it's a lot easier for people to broach the subject and ask for help, and it's like you say, it's played out everywhere on the media, and it's very talked about subject.
I think there's less stigma now, isn't there, attached to mental health and mental health issues, and there's much more of a push to have that. I don't like the word normalised, but you know what I mean, that it's something that happens, and you don't have to feel kind of like you said caged in, you know.
Because we can all relate to it. And if people are openly talking about it, because each and every one of us, we've all been through some troubles, some tough times, either financially, relationships. We've all our own personal, we kind of end up somewhere where we think we want to be somewhere else, and we haven't quite fulfilled our potential and our own self worth. A lot of us are dealing with that all the time, so we can relate to athletes or the royals talking about it as well. So we can kind of get a bit of hope from it, that we can transcend it and grow through it and develop ourselves off the back of it.
Yeah, I think also, I mean, I suppose as a cynical marketeer, to a certain extent, it also gives you a narrative and a backstory you know, that's yeah. that's engaging and that's relatable as well.
That's what I use now.
Yes.
So I'm a professional speaker. So a lot of my talk is about that. I talk about the backstory. I talk about the breakdown. I talk about depression, divorce, and the hard times to get the audience to get to. Because it's about speaking into people's hearts and their minds. So if you can open them up with that backstory and the troubles and the sufferings and the pain that you've been through, people can really relate to that. And then they can listen to the message that I'm sharing, because I've created a 7-step winning formula. And if you were to apply these 7 steps to yourself, your business, to your marketing, to anything in life, I promise you that you will produce world-class results. So I want to leave people with that. I want to give people an access to something they can't see. So that's my intention.
Yeah.
When I go and deliver a talk, my intention is that people leave the session thinking and feeling differently about their future.
Surely you missed a trick there, Billy. That could have been 12 rounds, you know, a 12-step kind of.
We got the book 12 rounds.
I know you've got, because I've read that in the book. You've got the 12 rounds, yeah.
We got a 12-week training program. We got it all kind of covered off. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to get those kind of boxing metaphors in there.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes, for sure.
So kind of, let's talk about kind of building yourself kind of back up, and to kind of coming into kind of where you are now, because you had the kind of brand, the Billy Schwer boxer brand, let's say.
Yeah.
And then, you know, life has moved on. You've had all the troubles that you've had in your life. And then how do you then build yourself back up? How do you get people to know who you are now and what you stand for now? Is it based on that you still had a following from when you were a boxer? Did you start completely from scratch? You know, how have you kind of gone about that?
I've kind of started from scratch because it's been a reinvention of myself.
Hmm.
And then it was kind of, well, what do I do with it? How do I now go out and make a living? How do I monetize my past experiences, and what do I do with it? And I've kind of I've reinvented myself and recreated myself, and I've started from scratch. And so I've been speaking for probably 12 or 13 years, and it was like, I had to, and it's not been easy. So as an athlete, I mean, there's so many different speakers out there, so many Olympic athletes, runners, and they're all speakers, right?
Yeah.
So that's a natural thing that they do. So it's a very crowded marketplace. So you've got to be very, very good at what you do, which I am. And I've done a lot of work on myself. I've done a lot of work on what I've invented and what I've created. And it's very unique and very different. And I deliver it, and I am it. I am the product, and it's not been easy, and it's still not easy. So it's all about marketing. I believe the marketing is the key thing for me nowadays. And I get a bit of word of mouth, but it's all marketing. It's everything's marketing. It's just getting myself in front of the right people. I've just got a new marketing strategy that I'm just taking on. I've just started this year, so I'm just implementing that, and I've really gone a slightly different take on things. Do you want me to share you what I'm doing?
You go for it, yeah.
So what I'm going to be doing, because LinkedIn is my main platform for my business these days.
Yep.
So I'm the business owners, CEOs, managing directors and sales directors. They're kind of my audience. So I work with teams. So my thing's about how to get your team punching above their weight. And I think what's going to make the difference for us people now as marketers is the personal touch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to shoot a personal video to Mr. Sales Director, a video specifically to him, send it to him via LinkedIn. And I've written a paper recently about, I've been working with executives for over 10 years or so, people like myself. And I've kind of discovered that we're all kind of making similar mistakes. But these mistakes may be preventing us from getting to the top. So I've written a paper about it.
Yeah.
So I shoot a message to these guys, a video, personal message, offering them, would they like to receive my paper that I've written? And I'd like to send them a book. So then I get them on the phone, and I'm going to add value to them. I'm going to go through these 10 mistakes that they might be unintentionally making, and to add value to them, to build a relationship with them. And if there's any opportunities at some point for us to work together, then, so that's what I'm trying on, and I've just started in January. So I'm going for the personal, that one-on-one kind of marketing experience.
Yes.
Yeah. I only need a handful of clients each month. I don't need hundreds.
I think what's interesting though is your use of video. You know that's your channel, right? Everything is done by video. You'd have the daily videos that go out. And now you're kind of doing these kind of more personalized videos aimed at specific people. You know, you're obviously very comfortable kind of filming those. You know, but maybe that's not kind of relevant to kind of, maybe other people can't do it as well. You know, I'm not particularly great on video, for instance. You know, I trip over my words and those kind of things.
Yeah, so, well, I do as well. I've had to train myself. And you know what? I've got a list of 20 videos I've got to shoot. And you know what? I don't always feel like doing it. And I've got to be in the right mood. I've got to generate myself. And it ain't easy. It ain't easy.
So how do you do that? How do you get yourself kind of motivated to do that kind of thing? How did you overcome your kind of, you know, potential issues?
Myself.
Yeah,
I have to overcome myself. So I'm very, very about how I feel. So So my weeks, they vary. So I'm on the road a fair bit. So this week I'm at home. So I'm going to get it done. I'm going to either do it today or tomorrow. So I just have to, if I've had a good night's sleep, I meditate a lot. I train, I exercise. I don't overdo it. But I get certain moments of like creativity. And if I've just got, so what I have to do, I have to do the basic work. So I've now got a list of, I've got 21 people. So I've had to go and create that list first and foremost. So that takes a lot of effort. That takes a lot of time to then get this list together that I'm going to go and send a message to. So then I've got to work that out. And when I get, if I've just got to get a moment of clarity, creativity, energy, it's all energy. And then I've just got to get and knock them out. Because they're only little, like, a minute long, short videos. But it's a creative process, but it's got to be, I've got to get all lined up. I've got to get who I'm speaking to, get the message right, bang, bang, bang. And then I've got to send them out. It's an effort. It's a big effort.
And so
I'm looking to do 20 this month.
And do you have kind of, do you have scripts or do you have just kind of cue cards or do you do it by memory?
For this particular thing, I'll just do them off the cuff because they're all going to be similar. They're all the same. And basically, it's just about, I've read a paper, I introduce myself. They'll know who I am because I shoot it in front of my world title belt. So they know who I am.
Yeah.
And it's just a little short piece. Offer them, would they like to receive the paper that I've written about the mistakes? Would they like to receive my book?
Yeah.
A signed copy of my book. Let's get on the phone. So last month I did 10, so I had 6 responses. So I had 60% responded, and I've got 3 calls lined up. So 50% of the 60% I'm going to then have calls with.
Yeah.
But then I've got to, then we'll see where they go. So what my thinking is, if I could, I need to have a consistent funnel of leads coming in. That's my challenge.
Yeah.
That's probably for us all, right?
Of course.
And it's just having having enough conversations consistently to then generate business from. So then I'm obviously speaking at events, so I'm getting leads that way. So it's all lead generation for me, which is all marketing.
Yeah, of course.
And my daily videos are my marketing strategy. They're like my salesperson. They're out there every day.
Yeah.
And then I'm following up with different videos, calls, to generate the lead, and then we've got to take that lead somewhere and do something with it or not with it.
Yeah. I mean, it obviously works, Billy, for you. I mean, it obviously kind of, because you're successful now, you're making...
It does, but you know what? January for me was the best month I've had. It was amazing. It was brilliant. But you know, February, I've got nothing in February right now.
Well, I mean, that's business, isn't it? You know, there is...
So we're all dealing with it. I've always worked for myself. I've never had a job. That's the world that I know. And it's not easy, is it? It's challenging.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, where's the next bit coming from? But I know it's out there and it will show up. But it's that fear, isn't it? It's that bit that's there for us all. It's all challenging.
Well, exactly. I mean, when you run your own business or you work for yourself, there's always, and I think sometimes that fear is something that drives you on anyway. I think it's one of the things that gives you that impetus to carry on doing it, otherwise you'd go get your 9 to 5.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I tell you what, Billy, we're just coming up to about half an hour, and I think we're just kind of wrap it up. We could talk for hours and hours and hours, and I know you could, but we will have to try and get you back on in the near future. And
you should have me back on, and I could go through my 7-step winning formula.
Well, yeah, exactly.
That,
so
that would add value to you guys.
Totally, we will do that, and also it'd be good to kind of catch up again and see how this new strategy of yours has kind of worked out, because that, I think people would be interested to know that. Yeah,
in 2 or 3 months' time, so I need to get a few months under my belt, because it's brand new. It's a brand new strategy for me, and I need to do something kind of every day to build it.
Yeah.
And build it and keep building it, it's taking me some time to kind of figure out what works for me and what doesn't work for me. So this strategy is going to be, it's going to open up a lot of doors.
I'm sure it's going to work really well for you. Cheers, Billy.
Thank you, my friend.
Marketing Rules Podcast is a Thinking Circles production.